the 114th appearance day of Srila Prabhupada. Correct? That is correct. I could read a statement first by that was written by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in 1915. At the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those faithful to him kept apart from non-devotees to avoid contamination. Seeing this, the personality of Kali sent his representatives in disguise to pollute the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Posing as Vaishnavas, they spread their wicked doctrines and appeared so intelligent and devoted that only pure devotees could detect their real identity. Many devotees, not only the most neophyte, were enchanted by their tricks. In this way, Kali's agents expertly introduced karma, jnana, and anya bilasha into the Vaishnava Sampradaya and caused Shuddha Bhakti to vanish from the world. It's from Sajjana Toshani, 18:2-13:14. So, this is Maya. So this is like, to take on Bhakti Yoga means to declare war. Srila Prabhupada, the Acharya, said, we declare war on the material energy, on Maya. So, when there's two opposing powers, this is what they do. The opposing side tries to destroy your commitment. The opposing government sends spies. There's always this espionage which goes on, trying to undermine. But just as there is the espionage, there's also counter-espionage. The government sends out agents into the other, but is also aware that the other side is also sending in agents, trying to penetrate your side. So Krishna has also his counter-espionage. So that would be personalities such as Bhakti Siddhanta himself and Srila Prabhupada. He is a perfect representative of Krishna's mission, of the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta himself, he set up 64 Gaudiya Mathas in India, and he also started preaching in the West. He sent representatives to England, also to Germany, but they were not so successful. He himself had great desire to go and preach in England. He had tremendous desire, but at the same time, so much work to be done in India. So much more work to be done in India. But he was thinking, one time there was a Samela, and Bhakti Siddhanta was lamenting about not being able to go to the West, and he was thinking that he would want to send some person to go to the West. And somebody would fulfill his mission. And while he was saying that, he was staring into the crowd, and he was distinctly looking at Srila Prabhupada. They were contacting each other. It was that Srila Prabhupada would be the one who would fulfill Bhakti Siddhanta's mission. This was reported by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, that while he was saying this, Bhakti Siddhanta was looking at Srila Prabhupada. So, anybody who's of course read Lilamrita or knows anything about Srila Prabhupada knows that at a very advanced age, he was 70 when he came. He left India after so much struggles. He struggled so hard to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's orders. He first met Bhakti Siddhanta at age 22, took initiation in March 1933, and then his whole life he just dedicated planning, thinking how he would fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. So on the first time he visited, first time of meeting Bhakti Siddhanta told him that he should preach in English into the Western countries. So a whole lifetime he prepared. Then coming to the West, you know, with nothing. Nowadays, you go to the bank, you know, thanks to Manmohan Singh, you can go to the West, you can bring 1 crore rupees with you, $250,000. But then, you only were allowed to bring 40 rupees with you. 40 rupees? That won't even pay for a taxi. You know, $5 is nothing. Actually, 40 rupees now would not even be a dollar. 40 that's 45 rupees to a dollar. So you can't even get anything. What could you get for 40 rupees now? Nothing. But then 40 rupees was worth a little bit more. It was 8 rupees to the dollar, so you get $5. So it was worth a little bit more. But still, it's nothing. Srila Prabhupada brought his books, and most of all, he brought his intense faith in Bhakti Siddhanta and in Krishna. He says in the Upanishads that one who has complete faith in Krishna and in Guru, the complete imports of the Vedas are revealed to him. So he had complete faith in both, not just in Krishna but in Guru, both together. Otherwise, why, how could somebody at such an advanced age, he left Vrindavan, you know, was very secure, to go to the West. We had no base of operation or nothing, didn't know anybody. But he went simply on the order of his Guru Maharaj. That's tremendous faith to do something like that. And in an inhospitable, you know, completely foreign environment, he started the mission. Very small, but then it quickly expanded so that within 12 years, Srila Prabhupada had over 100 centers around the world. He came with 40 rupees, and it was estimated that at the time when he left his body, he was worth, all the combined assets was worth approximately $400 million in 1977. $400 million 1977 dollars, which would be worth, I don't know how much today, significantly more. He published 30 up to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 18 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything, all these works in a very short period of time. He encircled the globe 12 times, making so many devotees. So this can only be done by somebody who is an empowered representative of the Lord. So, while it's our duty as disciples of Srila Prabhupada and also grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada to glorify Srila Prabhupada, it's, as Srila Prabhupada once said, you know, this saying, you know, just glorifying the Guru is not sufficient. Anybody can do that. In fact, some people make a career of just being Guru Bhaktas, but not doing anything. As the saying is, you know, ati bhakti chor lakshana. Excessive devotion is a sign of a thief. That we, Prabhupada was not just happy, because the disciples should have, but he wanted to see more than just words. He wanted to see action. Actions should, the actions of the disciple should bring glory to the Guru. What his disciples do should bring him glory, not dishonor, but great honor. He was always interested that his disciples continue and fulfill and expand his mission. So as followers of Srila Prabhupada, that's what, you know, that would be our best offering and best way of glorifying him, is by pushing on his mission. By our activities. Like yesterday, when I came, I was feeling very tired. I had been recovering from some medical treatments, plus fasting all day. Everybody's kind of tired after fasting. But I came, I was very happy. It was a very, very nice atmosphere, very jubilant atmosphere here. And specifically, when I went into the next building, the next in the under the pandal, then it was very nice because it was preaching was going on. We should, of course, do abhishek to the deity. That we should do. But unless there's preaching, that's not enough. Just doing abhishek, that's happening everywhere. But preaching is the real essence, the real life. Otherwise, we, after some time, it just becomes a ritual, pouring some milk on a deity, on a piece of metal. People don't know why we're doing what we made. That was a criticism my brother made to me when I first became a devotee. He says, these are just empty rituals. You don't know why you're doing what you're doing. But preaching, there was so much activity in the preaching that even though at first I was extremely tired, I became full of life. I didn't want to leave. Everybody else was going. I wanted to stay. Because this is what Srila Prabhupada really wanted. There were so many booths, so many people were, you could say everybody had, they were smiling, I was smiling, everybody was smiling, because they were happy. They were engaged directly in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And what is that mission? The mission of the Guru Parampara is to help Krishna to become victorious. Krishna is happy when he's victorious. But what does it mean for Krishna to be victorious? Chitraketu Maharaj explains this in the sixth canto. But Krishna to feel victorious doesn't mean when he kills, you know, Hiranyakashipu, when Nrisimhadeva kills him. That's not, he doesn't feel victorious. When Ram kills Ravana, this for him is not victory. You know, when all these different demons are killed by different avatars, this is not victory for Krishna. Krishna considers he's victorious if he can just recover one soul. Then he feels great victory. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is here to help Krishna be victorious, to capture souls and bring them back to Krishna. That was his whole motivation. If he could just simply make one devotee, his whole life would be satisfied. Because if Krishna feels that way, that if he could just turn one soul back to him, then his devotees, that's all they want to do. Just how many souls can they bring back? So I was seeing yesterday in the different stalls, like the ladies, they had over 100 girls that signed up. They wanted to now become associated with ISKCON. And I don't know how much was going on with the boys. Only the girls told me, but I'm sure there was. That means that there's success in Srila Prabhupada's mission. This will bring him glory. This will bring him honor. So our every endeavor is to make Srila Prabhupada happy. This is what will make him happy. We want to bring a smile on Srila Prabhupada's face. And it's not that Srila Prabhupada is just a murti. Somebody made a sculpture next to Srila Prabhupada. Every soul is eternal beyond the body. But the great acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's special, different. One time I was lamenting. I had been reading Hari Shaudi's biography, his diary, Transcendental Diary, Srila Prabhupada, and I was lamenting that, you know, even though I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, I didn't get the opportunity to have much association with Prabhupada, practically nil, zero association. So, it was Christmas Day, 1994. And I was, you know, how he describes how his activities with Srila Prabhupada and Hari Kesh and all these other disciples. Excuse me. So I actually went to bed crying, thinking how I didn't get any association with Srila Prabhupada.
I was really lamenting. No, tears are coming out of my eyes. But then in the middle of it, when I was sleeping, I had this dream. I had this very vivid dream that Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasa side. And I was fanning Srila Prabhupada. And I leaned over to Srila Prabhupada and I just expressed to him that I love him very much. And then, surprisingly, Srila Prabhupada leaned over and kissed me on the cheek, just like a grandfather would kiss a small child. And at that moment, I was instantly standing up practically. I was so shocked that, you know, by that happening, that Srila Prabhupada leaned over and, you know, when I told this to Hari Sari, he was very, you know, pleased by hearing this, that Srila Prabhupada, you know, that, because Srila Prabhupada explained that when you have dreams about Krishna or the spiritual master, these are not ordinary dreams. These are real. And that, because I was thinking that I didn't have association with Prabhupada, but actually Prabhupada is there. And this was also indicated just very recently in Vrindavan. A couple of years ago, there was a tragic incident with one girl which was killed. She was shot. Some crazy boy was chasing her, and he shot her. But she didn't die immediately. She was in a coma for a long time. And the family, devotees, they were from Australia. They were they were praying for her and everything like that. And the father, he was a very sober, grave type of person. He didn't believe in mysticism or, you know, ghosts or any type of, you could say, he was very grounded. He didn't, you know. So then while he was standing there, he felt somebody touch him. And when he turned around, he saw Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, "Now I'm going to take her." And then Prabhupada left with her. And at that moment, that's when the girl died. He's not a person to be. He was a very sober and grave individual. So him seeing that was to him extremely profound. That to him, Srila Prabhupada is present. Just that we haven't got the eyes to see him, but we can still we can develop those eyes to see him by developing an attachment for pleasing him. Just like yesterday, I saw so many devotees were engaged in his preaching mission. Everybody was, and some other devotees mentioned that the whole mood in the building was very uplifting, wasn't it? Everybody was like, kirtan was beautiful, the abhishek was beautiful, the deities were beautiful, and the preaching was very enlightening. Prabhupada was, when he was in his last days in Vrindavan, he was very ill, extremely ill. But whenever the Sankirtan newsletter came, he always wanted to hear the scores, because hearing how many books were distributed gave him life. He felt life. Somebody's making a lot of noise. So, Maya hasn't stopped her work. She's still sending agents to try to subvert, people posing as devotees. We know a few. We don't have to look very far to see people who are posing as devotees. You have to go to Rajaji Nagar. You see some problem people over, So that Maya can strike at any time, any place, anybody. So how to protect ourselves from such an attack? That would be the same way as Srila Prabhupada, how he became very attached to Bhaktisiddhanta. He read Bhaktisiddhanta's literature and he listened very intently to Bhaktisiddhanta. Prabhupada himself, I heard him say, that he could understand what Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, because Bhaktisiddhanta spoke in such a abstract and profound manner that one time when Bhaktisiddhanta went to Banaras, where all these big scholars are, he spoke in such a profound way that they couldn't understand anything he said. And later, some of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples had to give them the dumbed-down version so they could understand. These are all pundits. They had to give them the dumbed-down version so that they could grasp what he said. So you can imagine, these are all, you know, big Sanskrit pundits, and they couldn't understand what Bhaktisiddhanta said. So Srila Prabhupada also said it. He couldn't understand, but he was attached to listening. Bhaktisiddhanta noted that he was like to listen. So eventually, by listening, you know, he absorbed everything Bhaktisiddhanta had to say. So similarly, if we want to become protected from Maya, we also need to study Srila Prabhupada's books, not just read, you know, one or two of the small books. We have to read all of the books. All of them. I was a little bit dismayed when a few months ago I asked, I think it was in, I can't remember which class it was, how many people had read the whole Bhagavatam, and only three or four people raised their hands. That's not a good sign. It's like the terrorists. They look that the terrorists don't go for hard targets. Terrorists go for soft targets. So don't be a soft target. Don't have the right target on your forehead. You know, if you don't read enough, then you're like, it's like writing target on your forehead. That Maya is going to go directly to you. To read all of Prabhupada's books, and specifically, you should listen to his lectures. All his lectures are available as MP3 recordings. Very inexpensive. In fact, free. You just have to copy them from somebody else who's got them. And you can get small MP3 at a very inexpensive cost. You can listen at all times. As soon as you get up, put on your lecture. And you can, this way you can listen to two or three lectures per day. And then you should have associations with those devotees who are strictly following Srila Prabhupada. But how will you know if somebody is strictly following Srila Prabhupada? How will you know? Unless you have read Prabhupada's books and listened to his lectures. Otherwise you don't know. You just don't know. Just because it's Prabhupada's disciple doesn't mean anything. That's not a guarantee. Because Krishna himself explained in the fourth chapter of the Gita that there's a guru parampara there, but then eventually it gets broken. And somebody's disciple blew it. He broke the chain. So you want to make sure the person you're associating with is not one of those. Okay. I'm almost finished. So getting back to the point is, unless you yourself know, how will you tell if the persons that you're associating with are also following? So it's up to you. You know, as Srila Prabhupada said, you have to fly your own airplane. You get so many instructions, but when you're up there, you have to be your own pilot. Nobody can save you. So I just got the cue that I time is up. Let's see. They spoke. They gave me. All right. Time is up. Thank you very much. Prabhupada Kija.